Okay, with today being the first day of Chanukah, I thought maybe it would be a good idea to share eight short points to ponder in honor of the Chagurim. It goes without saying that the first question we need to discuss is the history of Chanukah, and quite frankly, in history, there is no mention of a Meseches Chanukah. There isn't even a complete Mishnah dedicated to Chanukah. And the question has to be asked as to why that is. And moreover, we know that Chanukah really deals with the different types of Jewish philosophy and the influence of Greek philosophy. Aristotle is perhaps the most influential Greek philosopher. However, in regard to the Hellenist threat, it doesn't begin until 100 years after Aristotle dies. Why? What happened in the interim? What was it that took place? And finally, let's ask, why does the miracle of Chanukah outclass the one about the battle? It sounds like most of the miracle is about the oil. So Rabbi Tzala Rudinsky Shlita, to the famous Rav of Or Reuven and Muncie, explains that when the Greeks attempted to get the Jews to forget the Torah, Lashkicham Torah Secha, the intention was to attack Torah Shebal Peh, which is symbolized by the menorah, as opposed to the Aron, which houses Torah Shebiksav, which spreads the light, like the Kohanim who spread the Torah. And hence, the miracle through the Kohanim and not the Nevi'im. In other words, says Rabbi Rudinsky, we have two issues. We have Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebiksav is spread by the Nevi'im, right? After all, they are in Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebal Peh is spread by those who are Yoru Mishpatecha LeYaakov, who teach Torah to the rest of Am Yisrael, likely symbolized by the Kohanim, who during the weeks that they were not involved in the Beis HaMikdash, this was their job. Now, at the time of Aristotle, there was still Nevi'im whose mere existence were there to combat the Hellenistic threat. It was only after they passed was the time right for an Aristotelian threat and for Hellenism. In other words, while there were Nevi'im, there was a direct counterbalance to the Aristotelian threat and through the Nevi'im, and there thus no Hellenism. But it was the time of supremacy of Torah law, right? And so therefore, 100 years later, when there was no supremacy, because the Masorah was under attack, Zakenim l'Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im still had to pass Torah to Anshei Knesset HaGedola, therefore, there was this time period. This is also why Rebbe didn't give Chanukah its own Masechta or its own Mishnah, because after all, this holiday is about the primacy of Torah Shebal Peh. Writing it down was a sign of the weakness of Torah Shebal Peh, not its strength. And so Rabbi Yehuda Anasi always takes the laws of Chanukah and he hides it under other Mishnayos and other issues, thus requiring us, A, to work to preserve it, and B, and more importantly, also to highlight the fact that this holiday is a holiday that will help us commit things to memory, not to turn around and see it as a time period of Jewish weakness. The second thought I wanted to present has to do with the essence of Chanukah. Rav Volbi Zatzal noted that the miracle of Chanukah is a direct result of the laxity of that the Kohanim had demonstrated towards the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. When one demonstrates a laxity, Hashem takes away. Only after the Chashmonoim demonstrated their willingness to give up their lives for the sake of reclaiming their right to do the Avodah were they destined to be successful. Chanukah, according to Rav Volbi, revolves around Chizuk, whether it's in the parshios it surrounds, as Yosef strengthens himself in the face of Mrs. Potiphar, or the miracles that we're commanded to celebrate and recall. We should use the time to strengthen ourselves, we should use the time to strengthen our Torah observance, and our tefillah, and our service to Hashem during this time period. It's not a time to be weak, it's a time to be active and proud. We point out that these days were set aside in order for us to have halal and hodah. And the Shulchan Aruch notes that the day is established for praise, but not for meals, right? And so therefore there's no special mitzvah to have a meal on Chanukah. But the Taz quotes the Rambam, who explains that the days are not of halal and hodah, but rather of simcha and hodah. And so ergo, the Taz argues that one has a mitzvah to add to his meals during Chanukah. However, this raises the question as to where the Rambam got this idea from. So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter noted in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that the idea results from the rules concerning eulogies and fasts, which are normally not allowed on Shabbos and Yom Tov because they're part of the fulfillment of the practices of mourning. And even where one benefits from the fast on Shabbos, one cannot accept the fast as a tinus on Shabbos. That is to say, maybe somebody might have a stomach virus, and as a result, he may not eat on Shabbos. But one cannot say it's a actual tinus. I can't set a fast on Shabbos, except, of course, Yom Kippurim. And similarly, one cannot eulogize or fast on Chanukah. And this comes because Chanukah is part of this general principle of Simcha. And that Simcha comes from the responsibility to recite a Hallel. And Hallel is only obligatory because of a sense of joy of Simcha. And so therefore, by definition, the Rambam makes synonymous the idea of Hallel together with the idea of Simcha. The two cannot be separated. And so therefore, as a result, although not explicit, there is some obligation to have some simcha, and that simcha should come out in the form of some form of suda upgrade during Chanukah, and that's where the idea comes from. The next idea I wanted to present is the idea of the purpose of miracles. The Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, famously notes that the purpose in having miracles is to strengthen our emunah in Hashem. And by having supernatural miracles, we'll come to appreciate the natural miracles that are around us all the time. Indeed, the entirety of existence and creation is a complete miracle, and the supernatural miracles remind us about this point constantly. So Rabbi Sachs, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Landers, added that there are two interpretations for the word nes. The first is something supernatural, thus we talk about Al Hanisim. But the second refers to a marker, Aselicha Saraf Simoso Al Nes. A nes is like a marker or a banner or a pole. And so Sachs added that the Ramban could combine both uses here on Chanukah. A miracle is also a sign marker, that even things that don't appear miraculous indeed are miraculous. And this, says Rav Sachs, is the secret to the dual message of Chanukah. The oil miracle reminds us that even the military victory was not a coincidence, but rather part of Hashem's plan in the world. Chanukah's message is to see Hashem's hand every single moment of every day. Let me just add that today we're in tremendous amount of distress and sadness over the passing of Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We'll reference this again in a couple of moments. But Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman was once approached by a doctor in Mayani Yeshua Hospital, and the doctor said to him, "Rav Shteinman, you are a living miracle." And Rav Shteinman, without missing a beat, turned to the doctor and said, "And so are you." That's the mindset that Chanukah gives us. There are sometimes we will meet miracles, and as a result of them, we will recognize V'hanisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. And we need to think about that, and Chanukah gives us the chance. Now, the Gemara has a famous debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to whether on the first night of Chanukah we should light one candle and go all the way up to eight, or, according to Beis Shammai, maybe we should light eight and go all the way down to one. And the question has to be raised, how can anyone possibly think that we would count down from eight to one? What is this, a blast off into outer space? So Rav Goldberg Zatzal, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne, the founder of the Hasdar movement, noted that the machlokas was likely tied into a different machlokas as to whether we recognize the light from Havdalah as Me'ora Eish, or whether we make the bracha Bore Me'oria Eish. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Nundalat Amid Beis notes this difference. According to Rav Goldberg, Beis Shammai notes that the different colors of the flame unite into one as they emerge from a single source. Beis Hillel sees the single flame as breaking into many, many flames, and thus they would say that the correct bracha is Me'orei Ho'esh. And the Chanukah candle situation, too, is to be understood in the same way. Are we growing from a single source to the mass crowd, or are we counting to get back to the source as we slowly melt and blend into the source of Kedusha itself? Beis Hillel counts as we each rise, and the Kedusha emanates from the source and spreads to the light beyond. Beis Shammai takes the opposite view. They assume that we come from beyond and we melt into one. That's the basis of the difference of opinion, according to Rav Goldberg Zatzal. Then we talk about the fact that it's got to be the ideal for Chanukah Licht is Shemen Zayis Zach, pure olive oil. And Rashi notes in Parshas Tetzaveh that for the menorah we need zach, even though you can use a second press oil for menachos and nesachim. What's the difference? So Rav Shteinman Zatzal suggested that there is a difference between performance and illumination. one can bring a carbon even if it has some sediment in the oil and is not pure. That's part of the idea of performance. But the light of the menorah, like hashpah, needs to be pure if it's going to be successful and long-lasting. Our personal avoda can be sometimes not 100% zach and still be found to be l'ratzon. We have to work at it. But if we're going to be mashpia on others, if we're going to have influence on others, that requires us to go a little bit further. Then the Gemara says in Shabbos on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis that if a person is ragil with Neiros Chanukah, he'll have children who are Talmidei Chachamim. If a person is ragil in Mezuzah, he'll have a Bayis Nar. A person who's ragil in Tzitzis will have a nice garment. So Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal points out that there we find people who are careful in a lot of these areas and don't merit to have the bracha of wealth. And so therefore, the bracha must refer to a bracha in Olam Haba. So what about the same thing with children? How could children be a reference to Olam Haba? There aren't children to be born in the world of truth. How can this refer to Olam Haba? So Rav Schwab explains that raising children who are Talmidei Chachamim, raising children who go in the right place, that's Me'ein Olam Haba. There's nothing like having children who really follow through in the Mesorah the way it's supposed to go. Finally, as we approach the eighth idea, we'll approach the idea of Zos Chanukah. And the Sfas-Emes notes that the last day of Chanukah has a unique significance and power, similar to that of Shmini Atzeret. It's the extra day that was not part of the miracle. After all, oil for one day was found, and it represents the special bond that we have with Hashem. And so, citing numerous Hasidisha and Litvisha sources, and they vary between some extreme Hasidisha sources and the Gaon himself, Reb Melech Biderman Shlita notes that one needs to set aside time, especially on Zos Chanukah, on the last day of Chanukah, during the day, to ask Hashem for his personal needs. There are many different Hasidisha Rabbanim and Kabbalists who found that the prayer for different needs, for Yeshua, for Parnassa, for Puriot, etc., are useful on this day particularly, as there are many different references that connect to those ideas. Chanukah is a tremendous opportunity. It's more than just eight crazy nights. It's an opportunity for us to have full-time inspiration, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us to an awareness of the Or, and the Or Chadash should continue to illuminate Or Chadash al Tzion Toir, Beniz Kechulana Mehera Li Oro, Chagurim Sameach to all.